You're listening to Paranormal Portal on Revolver Podcasts. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Paranormal Portal podcast. I'm your host, Brent Thomas, and I am joined by my good friend and co-host, Mr. Don Longbeard. Welcome, brother.
Thank you. Thank you. Always nice to be here on a Wednesday.
It's always good to have you, but whatever day this is. Actually, yeah. it will air on a Wednesday, it actually works out perfectly. So it is a Wednesday, ladies and gentlemen. Now, as you may, I'm sure all of you know, these are all pre-recorded. So sometimes they're actually recorded on the day, on the same day of the week, but usually they're not. But this time his remark worked out perfectly. That was serendipitous as well. So hope you guys are doing great, and thank you so much for all the support you guys have been showing us here on the Paranormal Portal podcast. It's been an amazing outpouring of support. A lot of word of mouth going on out there. I'm getting messages from people who are checking out the podcast. Nice. Wonderful feedback. Thank you guys so much. And of course, those of you out there who are finding the podcast are also checking out our Facebook and YouTube, which has been awesome because, I mean, we got a lot of material out there. These podcasts are actually the smallest of the body of work that we have. We have years on YouTube. We have, a great Facebook community that's growing and forming. Yep, and Twitter that's kind of
it's tweeting along.
It needs some love. It really does. So if you have a Twitter and you don't mind, follow us at Paranormal Portal, PORTL. We just gained a follower there from somewhere. So we're up to 70.
Bum, bum, bum.
I know it's just getting huge. But I've been trying to tweet stuff over there every once in a while too, and that I think helps because it's got to be engaging, much like our shows should be engaging. And so I hope you find yourself thoroughly engaged by the end of every one of our episodes. And if not, I do apologize, but I'm giving her all she's got. But anyway, this is the Paranormal Portal podcast. And tonight on the show, we're talking about UFO-related phenomena. So if you'll notice, there's a formula for our shows. We release 3 a week, Monday, Wednesday, Friday.
Which is a lot.
It is a lot. we're actually, but then again, we're on 7 days a week on YouTube as well. And we do internet radio on Friday and Saturday. So we are really pushing a lot of work out here and a lot of time, energy, and love into this. But the formula for the podcast are Monday is generally ghost and spiritual related stuff. Wednesday is generally UFO related. And Friday is cryptid, Bigfoot, dogmen related. So there's always a theme to each day of the week, but I hope, you guys will enjoy and experience all of them because, of course, for me personally, I'm very passionate about all things paranormal. To me, it doesn't have to be one or the other. I know some people are really into like Bigfoot, but not so much into UFOs or ghosts, or they're really into ghosts, but they don't really know what to think of Bigfoot. They think that's hokey. And but they think there's possibility with UFOs or whatever mix and match you've got. And to me, it's like if one of them is possible, then it's all possible. And I know they're possible because of all the experiences I've had personally. So for me personally, it's not a question of is it out there? Is it possible? I know all of this stuff is possible. Now, what I'm not always sure about is some of the ideas that people have out there. You know, that's, and it's up to you to shape your own paradigm, your own belief about these things. The portal's never going to be about feeding you one idea, one line of thinking. It's just an open discussion. We talk about all things in all of these different topics, and take what you will, discard what you don't like, and, you know, shape your own opinions. But that's kind of the methodology behind what is the portal. And if you like what you're hearing, definitely check us out on YouTube. You can see Don and I, and, you know, me and then Don and I as well doing shows there. We have a lot of fun, and we have a great community that comes on to every live stream. So get involved there.
It's truly amazing.
It really is. It's like, it's phenomenal. These people are just amazing. They show up every show. They've formed this family, and I can't take any credit for it. I mean, Don and I can't take any credit for it. No. They've formed this community all on their own. Actually, I think one of the people that really helped to shape it went by the name of Galactic Pixie.
Yes,
she definitely really did an amazing job of creating that whole community, and it persists even to this day. So wonderful deal. But let's get into tonight's show. And tonight's going to be a bunch of now, last show we talked a lot about UFO and alien abductions. And now tonight we're going to actually talk about, you know, we addressed Barney and Betty Hill quite a bit on the last episode, and a lot of discussion around why are they doing this? What could they possibly need? What could be going on that they, you know, these thoroughly advanced beings are taking their time to come and pick up people and poke and prod and, you know, and take skin scrapings and other things. They do other things that will not be mentioned here.
There's a first.
Yeah, well, no, it might be mentioned here, but I try not to. You know, especially the livestock stuff. It's like, really? How much information can you get from an anal core? How much information can be gleaned from the anus of a cow? I don't know what's going on there, but they seem to be really fascinated with cow anuses. Because these things will be cut up and in the field, and they'll have this surgical precision peeling of skin, and then the anus is cored out. It's like, really? What's going on there? So I don't know. I don't even pretend to know, but apparently they need something we've got, and they keep coming back, and including tagging, and we talked about implants and stuff. So tonight what we're going to talk about is a whole lot of different encounter stories where people claim to have been abducted. So first and foremost, Don, you know, you've been an asset in a large part with these UFO and abduction kind of stories. You've been really interested and involved in this community for a while.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. You know, it's the one thing that I carry over from my childhood. You know, I've always wondered, you know, we used to read, you know, C. Arthur Clarke and Isaac Asimov and, you know, all these science fiction and fantasy fiction and, you know, space. It's called space opera now, but, well, there's a branch called space opera now. And so, you know, all these alien and high tech things, and always, it almost inevitably, anytime you're talking about high tech things, you end up talking about, you know, space travel in some way. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I mean, those really caught my attention when I was younger. And, you know, of course, you know, comic books as well, you know, Superman was an alien, you know, and so, you know, I mean, just all these images of aliens put into our head. And so, you know, it really made me wonder if there's really anything out there. So I took a break for a long, long time about following this kind of stuff, and here I am back and digging back into it. So yeah, absolutely.
Well, fantastic. We're glad you are, and it certainly helps, because it's a phenomena that I believe it's happening. It's just hard to get my head around some of this stuff. But the first one I want to talk to you guys tonight is regarding Clayton and Donna Lee abduction. And this is a pretty interesting story. So let me read some pieces of information regarding this. I think it's pretty incredible. So a Texas-based husband and wife claim to have been abducted by aliens a lot of times, many times, including once where a fetus was stolen from Donna by the alien trespassers. Mm-hmm. And that's an odd thing right there. Clayton claims that he was a child visiting a park the very first time he was abducted, and that he feels the aliens might be studying him throughout his entire life. Oh, that's really interesting. Mm-hmm. So, and Don, you can vouch for the fact that a lot of times these abduction scenarios are lifelong and even generational.
Right. That is true. You know, there have been a lot of reports of fathers and mothers and sons and daughters.
Yeah.
Generational. Absolutely right. You know, and it's not really a strange thing to me. I mean, because maybe they're following that bloodline for a specific reason.
Right.
So.
And therein comes the question again, what is it that they're looking for? You know, but so the couple have had their memories of this event awakened by a local psychologist who, ironically, doesn't actually believe in aliens herself. So they stumbled on it, went to some counseling. So they both drawn sketches of the aliens and appeared on multiple media outlets to talk about their story, including one on the O'Reilly Factor. And what they said is Bill O'Reilly says, all right, you're abducted by multiple and abducted multiple amounts of times. And Donnelly says, yes, yes. And O'Reilly says, did you ever talk to the abductees? Did they tell you where they were from or anything? And she says, no, I don't have any remembering of at all having the conversation. No. O'Reilly says, oh, so they just swept you away somewhere. Where'd they put you? And she says, different places, different times. I've had memories of being on what I consider the ship because I know it was someplace other than any place I'd ever visited before. He says, so you were in some kind of vehicle? She says, yeah, it was a vehicle, a room. It was really cold, metal, a lot of metal. And did you see the aliens? Yes. What did they look like? What I saw on that particular visit, they were tall, slender, blonde, looked human, but not human, not quite human. He says, okay. And they didn't really use their voices to talk. So the couple says they remain worried about being abducted again almost daily, but that they wanted to live their lives regardless. That's really strange. So, the part about that really sticks up, and that's the hardest part for me to understand. I don't know what this would be like, but so you're pregnant, mm-hmm. you're expecting a child, and you're not suddenly pregnant.
Right.
No miscarriage, what's going on. It's just suddenly not there.
Right. How terrified would you be?
I don't know. I can't imagine.
Yeah.
And how violated would you feel? It's just like, that's ours now. You know, really?
You know, and that's popped up in a lot of, in the last 20 years, a lot of I was pregnant and now I'm not stories. And it seems like it connects with, of course, the hybridization mm-hmm. of the earthly population. And, of course, a mixing of, alien DNA of some type, right. So, it feeds right into that whole, I had a baby. As a matter of fact, there is a lady who says she has 3 hybrid children that she no longer sees, but she's still in telepathic communication with them from the aliens.
Wow.
Yeah.
And, that's where it gets into the real gray areas for me. It's just like, and I don't discount that telepathy is possible.
Yeah, but intergalactic telepathy.
Right. Well, I mean, if energy is energy, is everything.
Yeah, it doesn't matter, yeah.
It probably shouldn't matter if there's a distance or not. But, I mean, it goes into such a bizarre place. And I'm not discounting that it could be true. I'm just stating that it's hard for my head to wrap around that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So, and it's, again, it's not me being skeptical. It's not me trying to shut it down, like, no, they're full of garbage, this is full of baloney, whatever. It's just me going, I don't understand this.
Yeah, it's a difficult concept. Yeah.
Right. So that's the part that's hard. I don't mean to sound like I'm casting aspersions at anybody, because my God, how tragic would that be? How horrible would that be to have children away from you? I mean, I can relate to some of that, but I mean, that's just in earthly measures, and having, there's just issues sometimes where you can't be around your kids because of, relationship issues and stuff that break apart and they cause strife, and you can't be with your kids every day. But to never be with them, to never see them, never have that that contact anymore. How painful is that?
And knowing that they're literally light years away.
Right. You can't protect them. You can't do anything for them. Granted, I guess if they're going to be in anybody's hands, you
an
know,
advanced from, race would be
advanced,
the way.
Yeah, the advanced race. At least they're not going to, you know, fall off the swing set and die kind of thing, you know. You know what I mean? Or, you know, God, they didn't look when they were crossing the street and, you know, right. some kind of horrible tragedy like that.
Right.
So, you know, you have to believe that might be a really safe place, but it's still really heartbreaking to think that, you know, this person had children. Now, I don't understand the dynamics of that, but I'm sure that's something you'll get into if you want to right now.
Well, you know, I mean, what kind of dynamics do we have? I mean, we only have
so they're hybrid kids. Now, what I'm wondering about this Donna Lee thing was that a hybrid baby? Was it really their baby or was it an implanted pregnancy?
It was, you know, it could have been, I would say in this case, it was an implanted pregnancy, you know, because why else would they take a normal human child?
Right.
Unless, of course, you know, we go back to the idea that the husband's family has been followed for generations.
Right.
Because then it may have been, you know, an earlier impregnation and then see what happens to the child's, you know, the children through the generations. And like, you know, it's like, you know, taking your kid to the 6 month, you know,
right.
checkup. So, you know, it's like, okay, we've skipped three generations. It's time to check that blood again. You know, so that could be, it could be just a normal, regular pregnancy, but with old DNA ties to an alien, advanced civilization species.
Sure.
There's one idea.
That's true.
But, you know, I mean, if she's been abducted before, there have been reports where women had been abducted and 3 months later, for lack of better term, the pregnancy has been harvested.
Right.
So it's not even a full-term pregnancy. So.
Oh, sure. So it's more in the embryonic stage than it is in a full fetus stage.
Right, exactly, yeah.
Huh.
So.
Well, it's interesting. It's creepy, but it's interesting. I don't know. Wow.
Yeah. Wow is exactly right.
It's wild. It's wild stuff. But another one I got here is and I don't know if I'm pronouncing this right, but it's Gundia McKay alien abduction. Or Gundia. I'm not sure. Again, I can't be held responsible for my absolute destruction of people's
butchering yeah. names.
I usually do it all the time. I don't mean to, of course, but there's just some words I'm not sure how to pronounce. In a chilling story that three different people were involved in, a 22-year-old named Amy was abducted right out of the window of her lounge room by some sort of flying craft.
Huh.
Amy's husband, Keith, had already gone to bed while her friend Petra stayed up to read in another room, and Petra was abruptly disrupted by a blinding light coming from the lounge room and the sound of shattering glass. The rectangular beam of light was shining into the room, and according to Petra, she saw Amy being pulled out of the window by the light, still apparently asleep. Keith then woke up, and both he and Petra searched the house and surrounding area for Amy, who was nowhere to be seen. Keith eventually called the police. Amy eventually turned up miles away with strange marks on her inner thigh and bizarrely extensive body hair growth. Oh, that's horrible. So she not only got abducted, but they gave her a bunch of hair. I don't know what they mean on their head or if all of a sudden she had a hairy back, you know.
Sasquatch syndrome.
She needs some manscaping after this or what? Yeah, was she going full Yeti?
Get that girl some mascara.
Yeah, that's horrible.
Wow.
So I don't know, but strange. I mean, I'm glad she was recovered and all that, but horrible.
Wow.
So they heard the breaking glass, but they don't, I mean, was that just, did the glass break? Or what was the deal? I don't know.
You know, there's always stories of people being drawn through windows, but
right.
I've never heard one of it actually breaking.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's like it pulls you into singular, you know, singular to a singularity.
Yeah.
And then just kind of threads you through the atoms of the window seems
right.
to be more the case.
Yeah. Like,
you know, but you don't notice it because it happens so fast. But
sure.
It's the first time I've ever heard
the glass breaking.
You know?
Right. Yeah, but how terrible would that be? Not only did you get abducted, but now you've got chest hair.
Extra hair. My, those are mighty hairy. Yeah.
Are you okay, sir? I'm a lady.
No, this isn't gender dysphoria.
It's not gender dysphoria. It's alien abduction, ladies and gentlemen, and you just can't know what they're going to do. But apparently they cranked up the testosterone.
I wonder if it was like an accidental overdose.
Yeah. Oops.
Yeah. Oops. Sorry about that. No, oddly enough, we can only cause it, not fix it.
Yeah, that's right. Here, have a free razor.
And we'll give you a permanent subscription to Razor of the Month Club.
We'll give you an electrolysis package. You can get rid of that. How terrible, though.
Well, the other option might be alopecia.
Yeah, it could be. Yeah, just a very directed alopecia. Wow, that's horrible.
Never have to shave your legs again.
Right. So now here's one that's pretty interesting. This is a Russian millionaire politician taken by aliens. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Wow. Okay, so it's not just the people in trailer parks, ladies and gentlemen. I'm joking. You know, that's the stereotype, right? Is whenever you hear, if somebody saw a UFO, you expect, you know, trailer parks and banjos and, you know. Yeah, exactly.
Paddle faster.
You got a pretty craft. So this one is, oh no, it's a Russian name. This is going to be ugly, ladies and gentlemen, nice. But I'm going to see if I can shape my palate around this name, and no disrespect for those of Russian descent, but your names are very different for me. So it's Kirsten Ibravinov. Ilyumzinov.
Stop.
I'm trying. I know, it's painful. The former president of the only Buddhist political state avidly claims that he was once kidnapped by creatures not of this world. He says they abducted him off of his apartment balcony and took him to their spaceship. That sounds kind of cool so far. Yeah. I was taken from my apartment in Moscow to the spaceship. I'm sorry. I'm just trying to lend it credibility here. And we went to some star. And after that, I asked, please bring me back. Because the next day, I should be back in Kalmykia. I don't know how to say that name either. Kalmykia. And they said, oh, no problem, Kirsten. You have time. That's what it says.
He'll experience some lost time. That's okay. No problem.
No, we have time. You have time, comrade. No worries.
Don't worry.
So when pressed for details of the aliens themselves, he says, they are people like us. They have the same kind, the same vision. I talk with them, and I understand that we are not alone in the whole world. We are not unique. Wow. So apparently they look like people. The ship was absolutely enormous. One of its chambers was the size of a large football pitch.
Wow.
That is huge. We landed on one of the planets and picked up some piece of equipment, and they told me everything in detail, which apparently he didn't choose to share. He chose to keep that part to himself.
We've got your back, comrade.
Don't worry. This is for mowing the lawn. We have long grass on our home. Allegedly, well, yeah, it's like stop over and grab the weed eater quick. Allegedly, he was abducted. His staff came looking for him and was unable to locate him until he inexplicably appeared in his suite hours later. Now, if they were really cool, that sounds like a cool abduction deal. That's like, you know, just tag along. Just,
hey, get in, dummy. I don't know time to explain. Get in. That's always been an odd one to me because there's nothing happened. It's, oh, we just went to this planet and came back before breakfast.
With a piece of equipment. Yeah. But it's like, what did they need to pick up that, you know, they forgot? You know?
It's like, oh, shoot. Apparently they stopped to pick him up because they forgot him.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, we got to go get that Russian guy.
Yeah. We've got to pick up anal quarter.
Oh, no.
We have cows to check. I'm not sure. What the hell is it with anal cores? I don't know. That'll always be in the front of my mind every time I think of UFOs. What are they doing?
I wish we could get Linda Moulton Howe on the show.
Oh, no.
She'd answer.
She would probably, yeah. She'd probably fill us in for sure. So the next one is an incident known as the Robert Taylor incident. Says Robert Taylor was a forestry worker in Livingston, Scotland, and he was heading to work in the woods in 1979 when he turned a corner and saw a UFO parked in a field. All at once, two small spheres came from the object, and they made a sound as their spikes moved over the ground. They came to a stop beside him, grabbing his trousers, and began to drag him back to the UFO. The spiked objects were similar, very similar, to the UFO, only smaller. And Taylor could smell a strong, sickening odor. He lost consciousness. When he regained consciousness, the spheres were gone, but his red setter was still there. The dog was panicky, running around and barking. Taylor tried to calm him down, but found that his voice was gone, and he was very weak, and when he tried to stand, he could not. So he crawled for a time until he was able to stand again. He finally made it back to pick up his pickup truck, and tried to radio his work headquarters via his two-way radio, but he still couldn't speak. Attempting to drive his truck back home, he got stuck in the mud, so he started a long walk of about a mile back to his house and arrived at 11:45 a.m. Says his wife phoned the police when he got home and remarked that he looked terrible. Police began an investigation, having no true explanation for the bizarre tracks left at the scene of the UFO. No aircraft, civilian or military, was scheduled to be in the area around the comprehensive flight, according to comprehensive flight logs. So, I mean, it sounds like they at least investigated it, you know. They looked into it, but very strange.
Was it just police?
Well, I mean, that's apparently all that researched it. I don't know.
Huh.
It doesn't talk about like somebody like Nick Pope being involved, but you never know. Since that was Scotland and all, maybe Nick Pope would be. But that was back in 1979, did I say? Yeah, 79. So that was, you know, quite a while ago.
That was before the alphabet soup got soupy.
Yeah, it maybe didn't get quite as muddy by that time, but yeah. But weird, weird deal. I don't know. What do you think of that one, Don?
That's interesting. That reminds me of a story of a, I think it was a doctor in the Seattle area in the early 80s. He was out in the forest with his dog.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't remember the whole thing, but in that story he was actually able to go back and look at something happened. I think maybe he shot it or something. Uh-huh. And he was able to go back and look at it. I can't remember. I'll have to look it up again. It was one of those ones I wasn't comprehending at the time.
Sure.
But you know, that's a I wouldn't say fairly common, but it would be certainly it would follow the lines of a story. Yeah, absolutely. Right. So
curious.
Yes.
Very curious. Very curious. I think this might be a good place to stop for a break.
Yeah, because I need to reboot my computer apparently.
Okay. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we will be right back. Don't go away for more of the Paranormal Portal podcast. And this is another episode of Alien Abductions. And, I find it absolutely fascinating.
So, we're having fun so far.
Well, at very least, it's a great discussion. So we'll see what kind of meat we can get into on the other side here. But don't go away, everybody. We'll be right back. Gentlemen, we are back. This is the Paranormal Portal podcast. I am Brent Thomas and joined by Don Longbeard.
That's me again, still and forever.
In forever mode here on the portal. We are eternally out there on the waves, riding them, surfing them, and trying to stay on the board.
Sometimes just crashing with a tombstone.
You never know. We don't pretend to be in control of the portal. We just try to hang on. So it's kind of got a life of its own. But this is an episode we're covering tonight is having to do with alien abductions and some of the fascinating encounter stories that are come back. And again, on the previous episode, we've talked about what it is and talked about some of the ideas and logic behind it and, you know, what is this weird phenomenon? This one, we're discussing actual encounters. So I hope you guys are enjoying it and are going to continue to enjoy it. We're going to continue to deliver it either way, but hopefully you're having fun with it. I'm going to skip that one. That one's been done to death. You know, it doesn't really behoove anybody to retell Travis Walton's story.
Oh, gosh, no.
Because, you know, Travis Walton's story is the stuff of
it is legend.
It is legend, yeah. And not in a dismissive way, but it's, of course, been covered to death by about a jillion different people and movies as well. So, all right, so this one's kind of interesting. And this one, I think, really kind of stands out because of the setting. You wouldn't think of this as being something that could happen, but apparently it did. And this is the Manhattan abduction. And so this is Linda Napolitano. Napolitano.
There you go.
I got it. Originally aliased as Linda Cortile, triggered one of the most well-documented UFO abduction cases when she claimed to have been kidnapped out the window of her Manhattan apartment building by a flying saucer. She describes her time with the aliens as such. I'm standing up on nothing, and they take me out all the way up, way above the building. Oh, I hope I don't fall. The UFO opens up almost like a clam, and then I'm inside.
Wow.
I see benches similar to regular benches, and they're bringing me down a hallway. Doors open like sliding doors, and inside are all these lights and buttons and a big long table, and I don't want to get up on that table, but they get me up on that table anyway, and they start saying things to me. And I'm yelling. I can still yell. And one of them says something that sounds like knob yeg. And I think they were trying to tell me to be quiet because he put his hand over my mouth. Yeah, I guess that would probably be good. That's probably good rudimentary sign language. Knob yeg. Hey, lady, knob yeg. So her abduction story has been corroborated by two United Nations bodyguards who claim to have seen the scene exactly that Linda describes. And they say there was an oval-shaped object hovering over the top of the apartment building two or three blocks up from where we sat. We didn't know where it came from. It just happened too fast. Its lights turned from a bright reddish-orange to a whitish-blue coming out of the bottom. Green lights rotated around the edge of the saucer, and a little girl or woman wearing a white gown sailed out of the window in a fetal position and then stood in midair as this beam of light, and I could see three of the ugliest creatures I ever saw. I don't know what they were. They weren't human. Their heads were out of proportion, very large heads with no hair. These buggers were escorting her into the craft, and my partner screamed, "We've got to get them." We tried to get out of the car but couldn't, and after the woman was escorted in, the oval turned reddish-orange again and whisked off.
Wow.
So years later, in 2001, there's a photo taken of Linda's apartment, and the aliens might have been visiting to check on her. There is actually a photo that shows a little object over that same building. And so maybe they did tag her. You know, we talked about implants on the last one as a means of tracking people that they've abducted. And so maybe they do come back and keep tabs. You know, it's kind of like a smart meter. They just got to drive by and get readings. You know? So they install smart meters on these people and they just got to drive their craft near them and they'll get the feedback.
But what's special about these people that they're abducting? That's my big question is why?
I don't know.
Why these people? You know, we've postulated before, maybe it's a piece of DNA that they're looking for, or, right. You know, maybe, as I said earlier, you know, they're just following up on a bloodline that they've been following for,
sure,
you know, forever. Who knows?
It's,
you know, but it, really, I want to know. I don't want to be abducted necessarily, but I sure wouldn't mind a conversation with them.
I'm not so sure you haven't been, to be honest with you. You got the haunted truck and you saw the weird lights
darn truck.
Oh, you know, there's all kinds of going on in your world and your TV that has its own idea of what it should be doing and more and more things all the time.
It's all technological.
Sure it is.
It is.
Sure it is. So both bodyguards would later go on to suffer severe psychological maladies after seeing what they did that night. And Linda still maintains her story to this very day.
Wow.
So I don't know. I wonder if she'd been checked for implants, though. That would be curious. I'm going to skip that one. Okay. So here's some that people are just sending in, and I think these are cool. I think I almost prefer these to the more popular ones because, again, the more popular ones have been done to death.
Right.
People have just done the hell out of them. You can only talk about many of those in so many ways, and you've kind of discussed the hell out of it, and there isn't anything new to add.
True enough.
But nobody talks about stuff like we do, I'm just saying.
Nobody does it like we do.
Nobody does the portal like the portal does the portal.
Nobody can do it better.
Yeah, exactly. So here's several of those. Did you have anything you wanted to do, or are you still, you're still booting?
Yeah, I'm still rebooting.
Dawn's booting.
I didn't know what's wrong.
It's all right. I can carry this. I can carry.
I will just make fun of you as we go.
That's perfect.
All right.
That's exactly what the portal should be. All right. So the first one is, I was traveling back home with my mom from my aunt's house on a warm, sunny afternoon. And while I was sitting in the passenger seat, an object just appeared in the sky a little off to our left. And we both saw it right away. The size of it was what shocked me more than anything. It had the classic saucer shape and was shining brightly because the sun was reflecting off of it. We continued driving down the road a few seconds, just admiring this craft, when all of a sudden we saw something I still don't believe to this day. It just vanishes, disintegrates, disappears, whatever you want to call it. I looked back at my mom, and I could tell by her expression that she had seen the same thing. Since this sighting, I've always been interested in UFOs and the possibility of other life in our universe. This object in the sky was definitely not a helicopter, airplane, or flock of geese. My mom and I still talk about the sighting we had and can't come up with any reasonable explanation as to what we saw that day. This is my UFO story, and it's not a hoax or a fabrication. Everyone always laughs at me when I tell the story, but it's fine. I know what I saw. Now, here's the thing, Don. I saw a craft that wasn't visible. Mm-hmm. Now, and referring back to an earlier episode, or if you've been following the portal at all, you'll know that I've seen a UFO. But the only reason I saw that UFO is because I was looking through night vision binoculars at night. I saw it clear as day above the treetops, just sitting there hovering silently with these panels of light going on between the two pie plates.
And you described it as a classic
saucer.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so it's interesting. These people are describing a saucer as well. And suddenly it disappeared. Now, I could see it with the infrared binoculars, but when I lowered the binoculars, it was not in the night sky. Now, this was something that was emitting light. Mm-hmm. These panels of light through the middle of this craft were strobing, you know, in a circular pattern around the craft.
Right.
There's no reason it shouldn't have been visible.
Right.
Now, it occurred to me, now, how many times, Don, in the history of you discussing or researching UFOs, have you heard that all of a sudden it was just gone in a blink of an eye? And people assume that means it took off at great speed.
Right. Right.
But it's more probably them cloaking. And that would put them into the same zone as I witnessed them.
Right.
They were cloaked.
I would say, you know, not necessarily cloaked, but maybe they changed the light frequency because,
well, which is cloaking.
You would, well, yeah, okay. I mean, you know, it depends on how you look at it, I suppose. But yeah, no, that would be cloaking. But I mean, you know, why would they not cloak against IR?
I don't know. Maybe it just doesn't occur to them that we're going to be running around with IR.
Because we can only see, you know, part of the spectrum, as we've many times
discussed,
mentioned.
Yeah.
You know, so that, who knows?
So I think that what happened was that craft was still there watching them. It's just it was invisible to their eyes. So, yeah. You know, and I know they make cameras that can operate in daylight but still see in the infrared spectrum.
Right.
And you know, I'm not talking like a FLIR kind of thing. I'm talking about just, you know, visual cameras that are adapted. You know, the problem with night vision, like goggles or binoculars or whatever, is that you got to use them in darkness.
Right.
You can't pull them out in the daylight because you'll fry that the sensors.
Well, and it wouldn't make sense to use them in the daylight either.
Well, but in this case, if they are cloaked from the normal light spectrum, then that would be the only way to see them.
That would be true, yeah.
But there are modifications that can be made to cameras so that they can see the infrared spectrum as well and not fry the sensors. So I would love to get my hands on something like that as well and look at the daytime sky. Because, I mean, if they could be anywhere at any time, you know, and they could be in this area all over the place. Hell, the sky could be full of them for all we know. You know, I mean it, because I'd never seen a UFO before I was up here. And I've seen weird anomalies since then with the night vision. But always at night, but I'm curious what's going on during the day.
Yeah, no doubt.
Because they're probably even more busy then. But anyway, cool story. Very cool. Another one is, I've always felt some encounter stories were real, but what made me truly believe was one night standing outside watching the stars. It was late, maybe 2 a.m., and out in the country, so it was dark, no street lights, very little to no moon. And I was watching what I thought was a satellite moving across the sky from right to left. Didn't think twice about it, as I saw them all the time. And suddenly, the satellite stopped and shot off fast, totally disappeared at a 45-degree angle from the direction it came. And I've never, ever seen a satellite change direction, ever. It startled me so much. I stood there for a bit just wondering if I really saw it or not. But I did, 100% certain. It's unfortunate no one was there with me that night. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and ladies and gentlemen, satellites can be reoriented, but they don't turn on a dime and shoot off.
Right.
They don't. So that most likely was something else. I'm going to go with something else.
I'm going to go with something else because, you know, satellites can't carry much fuel, you know. So it's
right.
It's like, you know, the best it can do is like turn and slowly pull away.
Right, exactly. Right. So, and I'm sure they service satellites like the shuttles used to, and maybe that was part of that was just reestablishing their fuel tanks so they could reorient them or put them on different missions or whatever. But yeah, I don't know. That's creepy. So another one in this fine list of encounters is, now these are not so much abduction stories, but these are more encounter stories, which is fine. That's part, you know, it's all on the spectrum. And the other part of it is if you see a UFO, what do you think the odds are that you're probably on the list for abduction? Because I'm just asking for a friend. What do you think, Don?
I think that's always a troublesome qualifier at the end there.
I think so too. That's pretty creepy. And I think about that all the time. It's like, you know, what's going to happen? You know, am I going to wake up some morning and or night and see, you know, these grays standing around me going, how do we get this one out the window? Oh, hey, grab the big tractor beam. This one's going to be at work.
Oh, no.
So anyway, says maybe 8 to 10 years ago, I was with my dad my and younger brother returning home to my mom's house when we were driving along this road with forest on either side of us. My dad noticed it first and said, hey, look at that, pointing up through the sunroof, maybe 21 yards above us or less, was this big, dark gray circle and these bright white circular lights, all the same size and equally spaced apart. It wasn't moving or it wasn't moving fast and wasn't making any noise as far as I could tell. And although we were in a Land Rover, it says Land Over, but I think Land Rover is what they meant, I could see all along the bottom and the sides were like square pipes running along it. And although I'm not certain, I seem to think and recall there being symbols or hieroglyphs as well. As we passed the top of it looked like a bowl and it was lighter gray, and it remained there fixed in place for a good 8 to 10 minutes until we drove out of sight. So it was just sitting there. And it didn't seem to pursue or anything, just sitting there. Huh. Now, that one that I read that the guy was in the field and in the 79 deal, that one sounded almost like some kind of drone deal.
Sure.
So it was this spiky ball, and two smaller spiky balls grabbed him and dragged him along. And,
right.
You know, it didn't sound like there was any, it wasn't manned is what it sounds like to me, but something like this just sitting there. I don't know how big it was. You know, now, there's also the ideas of the TR-3Bs, right? The man-made or legendary man-made UFOs that are potentially the result of reverse engineering of UFOs. But this person doesn't talk about a shape. But when I hear that description and those, you know, the pipes and stuff, that doesn't sound real common. It seems like most often when people report UFOs, they're these seamless,
right?
You know, kind of
clean
craft.
Lines,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah, there isn't like these
sleek
square pipes that they describe is like, well, that sounds like something we might have made, you know. I mean, it's just not as I don't know, artistic or beautiful or whatever that you'd expect from a UFO.
Well, but, they said it was what, 8 to 10 years ago, is that right?
Yes, 8 to 10 years
ago. Well, okay, even 8 to 10 years ago, they would have been making them look, you know, sleek and the right. lines nice. So, you know, that either that was just like an older model it wasn't, in my opinion, what I would think would a UFO look like, you know?
Right, exactly. That's what I'm getting it from it, too. It's like, you know, It's the 70s muscle car.
Yeah, with the big old blower out the front end of it. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, the big beefy tires on the back.
So it might have been a teenage alien.
For a midnight just street race. Right.
He's waiting for the others to come. But, yeah, very cool. I don't doubt it. I think there's all kinds of – now, according to many people, we have many of these different types here.
Right.
You know, like there's not just one kind of alien. There's dozens. Especially according to Paul Hellyer, the retired Minister of Defense from Canada, he'll tell you all day long there's dozens of these things hanging out here. And, you know, it's not really that far, apparently, from the Men in Black, you know, right. where you got Will Smith and he's in the in the hangar or whatever there. And there's just all these different types of beings. I mean, it kind of sounds like that, doesn't right. it?
Yeah. The intergalactic, you know, right. space, you know, station, literally.
Right. Yeah. It's like an airport or something. But whatever is going on, I don't pretend to know for sure, but it's pretty curious. I know that there's a lot going on. We just don't understand. We are just so far out of the interstellar loop. It's crazy. But, you know, I was thinking, and I was having a discussion yesterday with a gentleman at the party I was at. And, you know, I was like, you know, it makes you wonder, are we just some kind of intergalactic petting zoo? You know, right. It's like, hey, Umgla, get the kids in the saucer. We're going to go see the people, you know, Umgla. That's the best I could come up with.
Well, that's pretty good.
But, you know, you have to wonder, what are they doing? What's going on? What don't we know?
Right.
So this one is back in 1997, a group of us neighborhood kids were looking up on the night sky, observing the Hale-Bopp comet. Mm. I remember that thing. That was pretty spectacular.
Yeah. Heaven's Gate and everything.
Yeah. Well, that actually did come to my mind, as creepy as that is, but.
Well, that's what, you know, they believed the aliens were coming to get them behind the comet. Yeah, so, you know,
they did. Right. They were going to ride.
Fits right in.
That was the mothership, I think, was what their belief was. But it said, I grew up hours from any major city and the view was really pretty clear. And after a while, we started to notice red and white dots circling around each other, making sudden movements in every direction, like no aircraft I've ever seen or have seen since. At certain points, they merged into one craft and then shot out three smaller crafts. Mm. And although we couldn't tell whether it was a craft because they just appeared to be balls of light, this went on for a couple of hours, right before the lights disappeared and they accelerated at lightning fast speed into the darkness. We all went home terrified of what we saw. And the next day on the front page of our small hometown paper, it said it received several calls. The explanation they gave was that the local airport was testing aircraft.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, sure they were.
Yeah.
I'm sure how much I believe that story because of what I saw. To this day, whenever I see my friends that were there that night, we'll sometimes talk about it, and none of us can be sure what we saw, but to this day, none of us have seen anything like it. So, yeah, very, very bizarre.
Kind of reminds me of an X-Files
right.
episode.
Yeah?
Yeah, these kids break – well, they don't break in. They find a hole in the fence of the local secret, you know, airstrip thing, and they go in there every Friday night and watch all these, you know, and then all of a sudden – They actually do see something that's not quite explainable. And so nobody believes them, of course. So.
Of course, because they're just a bunch of kids.
Except for Falk Smulder, of course.
Well, yeah. I miss that show.
I do, too.
I used to love that show every Friday night. The X-Files. All right. So 1997, Colorado Springs. I was 8 years old. Playing in the sand volleyball court down at the park down the street from my house, and I was engrossed in my activity, burying my collection of Happy Meal toys in the sand and then digging them back out and repeating it. And I was looking down, but decided suddenly that I needed to look up because the world around me had lost all sound.
Mm.
There was no longer any ambient noise, no traffic noise from the busy street just a block over, no more dogs barking, no birds chirping, and I looked at the street that bordered the park. and that's when I saw it. It looked like a stealth bomber turned sideways, the nose leading one wing down toward the road and the other pointed up at the sky, completely shiny black in color, as tall as a house, shaped like an arrowhead, and it was cruising the street at 3 miles per hour, just gliding over the road. I watched it for maybe 20 seconds, and as soon as it had passed behind some two-story houses and out of my sight, I got my hearing back full force. Wow.
You know, why?
It says, I ran home with my piss-soaked pants and never spoke a word of it to anybody.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, 3 miles an hour.
Yeah.
And how long did it take them to get down the street where he couldn't see it anymore? It took him.
I watched it for maybe 20 seconds.
20 seconds?
Yep.
Wow, that's pretty fast for a craft moving at 3 miles an hour.
Yeah, and I don't really know how big it was, though. All we know is it was shaped like a stealth bomber, but it was turned sideways.
And it was big as a house, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Is that what he said?
Yeah, as tall as a house.
Right.
Shaped like an arrowhead. Huh.
That would be a black manta.
Yeah, it would seem, yeah. Wow, that would be horrible. Poor kid.
Well, you know, and it's funny because, you know, he said that he, you know, everything went silent,
right.
No ambient noise or anything. And that, you know, supposedly that's one of the things that a TR-3B can do is sound suppression. Oh. That's why nobody hears them.
Oh, interesting.
So I wonder if for some reason he was affected and or he was close enough that field affected him.
Oh.
So interesting.
Now, I'd be curious if they didn't suppress the sound. How loud would that be?
No doubt.
You know, that'd be just some kind of screaming mess.
Oh, God. It'd probably blow some eardrums out.
Right. Well, good thing they're suppressing it then.
Well, they were only moving at 3 miles an hour, which is incredibly slow for such an incredibly large craft.
Right. Wow. That's amazing. So let's see the next one. 2010, Los Angeles, California. I was cleaning up around my apartment when I noticed my kitchen lamp swinging and my building rocking. Obviously, earthquake. It lasted for a bit, and I called my friend to make sure she was okay. And as we were chatting, I was standing out on my balcony, which overlooks Runyon Canyon, a popular hiking trail, and I suddenly noticed this object hovering high in between the mountains. It was way too high to be a helicopter and too small and low to be a plane. And what made it super strange was its shape and lack of movement.
Mm.
It was orb-esque and stood stagnant for about a solid 3 minutes before moving at a snail's pace to the west. I'm talking slower than any aircraft, blimp, kite, whatever, that I've ever seen. And it also seemed to reflect the sun, but only at some angles. I grabbed my crappy digital camera,
of course,
and tried to capture it as best I could. After moving towards the left and then once again staying completely still, it immediately darted at what seemed like an impossible speed in the opposite direction upwards and disappeared. Plain old man-made, government or other, it was one of the weirdest, best sightings I've ever experienced, especially since it was in broad daylight. And when I looked through the pictures, I thought I got nothing, but after zooming in, I noticed the object showed up in 3. I don't have any Photoshop or anything, so it's not the clearest quality, but hey, still neat.
Hmm.
Very curious. Curiouser and curiouser. The next one is, I was driving back home to Los Angeles with a friend of mine after visiting family near Phoenix, and we were headed west on Highway 58 just out of Barron, California, en route to the Mojave to catch the 14. And it was night, and we were jamming out to some music, and the next thing I know, I'm waking up, looking around and realizing that I was pulled over to the side of the road and approximately 3 hours had passed.
Ooh.
My buddy was fast asleep, so I woke him up and we both kind of had a psychological meltdown. And after we calmed down a bit, we went home and never really spoke of it since. I've absolutely no idea when or how we transitioned from listening to loud music and driving down the road to waking up safe on the side of the road.
Mm.
Now, that sounds like a great case for regression, doesn't it?
Oh, yes.
Find out just what happened so you can live with the emotional scars the rest of your life.
Well, at least you didn't go get a physical right afterwards and find out things aren't where they're supposed to be.
Yeah.
Or things that are there aren't there anymore.
Why is your junk on your shoulder blades? Yeah, it's hard to know, but whatever's going on, they definitely got inspected.
Yeah, definitely.
Wow. Would you want to know?
You know, I've pondered that myself, and, you know, I don't think so.
No?
I really don't think so.
I don't know if I would either, because, you know, here's the thing. There's nothing you can do about it anyway. I mean, whatever happened, it's happened. And if they're going to do it again, there's probably not a whole lot you can do about it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe there is. I don't know. But I'm expecting that there probably isn't, that they don't ask permission. They don't, you know, send out questionnaires to see who's willing. they just decide it's you.
maybe you did a quiz on Facebook.
Right. Yeah.
Like, this one's ripe for a plucking.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, maybe they work with Facebook to figure out who's the best candidates to be hoovered up and to be probed or whatever. I don't know. But
wow,
it's something that I think. You know, I don't recall anything happened to me. I mean, I was awake for hours after what I saw happened.
And, or so you think.
Well, I mean, I really do think, because I was like frantically looking at the blinds,
making sure
nothing landed. It was just like,
get me away.
No, don't come get me. Don't come get me. So I was just like freaking out.
Wow.
But yeah, as far as I know, it was just a one-off deal.
Exciting.
Right. And that was good enough for me. I mean, it made it real beyond a shadow of a doubt. I always believed it was real, but then I knew it was real. And so it was real, and that was good enough. But after that, if there was anything else that happened, I'm good leaving it where it is, because I can't change it. And if they decide to come back, there's nothing I'm going to be able to do anyway.
Apparently not.
So I'd rather be stupid and unaware. I'm really amazed at people that do come forward, and sometimes they remember really cool things.
Right.
But most often, it's pretty horrible experiences. Because it's helplessness. It's, you know, it's
right. Yeah. There's nothing. Yeah.
I don't think nothing makes me cringe more than the idea of being absolutely helpless. You know, it's like, I want to believe that I could put up some kind of fight. You know, you want to believe that anyway. Otherwise you feel completely emasculated. So, you know, ignorance is bliss. I think
in some cases, I'll have to agree.
Yeah. So,
wow.
Well, we're at about the end of our journey tonight, Don. Anything in closing?
Just simply that things have been going so well with the podcast. We do appreciate that. I personally appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just keep coming back, and we'll keep entertaining.
We'll keep doing our best to keep you coming back as well. So it's a quid pro quo right there, ladies and gentlemen. But we love you all. Thank you so much for supporting our endeavors, and continue to spread the word to anybody you know that's interested in the paranormal. Find us on Facebook, facebook.com/paranormalportalradio, and find us on YouTube, youtube.com/paranormalportal, and definitely find us on Twitter. We need help there.
Need some help.
We need some love on the Twitterverse. So anyway, guys, love you guys. Have a great night. Be good, be kind, be nice, take care of each other, help each other out, find the magic in every day, and remember to laugh as much as you can. Have a good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.
Hi, this is Don with Paranormal Portal. Thank you for checking out our Paranormal Portal podcast. If you like what you heard, please subscribe to our YouTube channel. That's youtube.com/paranormalportal. And follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/paranormalportalradio.
sports betting is sweeping across the country faster than the coronavirus, and Wagering Week is your antidote. I'm Tom Martin, and I'm a veteran sports analyst and respected sports handicapper who helped build ESPN's brand. I've been recognized and awarded by Pro Football Weekly and Gaming Today magazine as the honest handicapper. Let the other guys give you the same old boring sports talk with the same tired storylines. We'll give it to you straight here every Friday on Wagering Week. Don't gamble with other podcasts. Let Sports Garden Network's Wagering Week help your bottom line.